parking space size inside garage, whereas a minimum dimensions for an interior garage parking space is 10 by 20, and 9.25 feet by 20 feet, greater than 20 feet is proposed. So it doesn't meet the minimum width, but it more than meets the minimum depth. Also, third floor deck, again, I believe there's a clarification on this, but third floor decks, whereas a third floor deck is required to be located within the building envelope and is proposed, and the proposed deck is not within the building envelope, and that's based on the definitions. Waivers, providing a landscape plan, I believe that waiver could be granted, that the landscaping also be submitted as part of the site plan application. And in my comments, I defined the half story. I'll leave it up to the applicant to define that. And the one-car garage driveway combination configuration, the applicant provide testimony on that. Other comments that are relevant to be on the record. Actually, street trees are recommended as optional for South Hawthorne Avenue beach block. Again, the board has been in a general practice of not requiring street trees on beach blocks for obvious reasons to preserve views from people down the street. And at this point in time, I'm not going to reserve the right to chime in, but I'll turn it over to Mr. Barnes.
The chairman indicated that you swear people in now, or?
Yeah,
okay.
Right now you swear everybody in and that you need. And then we'll go from there.
All right.
First, yeah. Come up to the mic, yeah, please.
McLean.
Both who's ever being sworn, come up to the mic, please.
Yeah, Bill.
All right. We'll go. Just go down the line, Mr. McLean, and then Jay. You, and then each of you, just state your name and business address for the record. I'll swear you in together.
William C. McLean, the business William McLean Architecture, is located at 5 MacArthur Boulevard in Summers Point.
Okay.
Hi, Jay Shulo, Shulo Engineering. It's 137 South New York Avenue in Atlantic City.
If you can each please raise your right hand, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth?
I do, yes.
Great.
Let the record reflect that Mr. McLean's credentials and Mr. Shulo's credentials are acceptable before this board as an engineer and architect.
Yeah. Might as well leave now.
Okay.
He gave me the preamble, you put all their credentials on?
Well, we're done.
Yeah, Mr. McLean being an architect, Mr. Shulo, engineer, he's also a professional planner.
Right. Wonderful.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Jeffrey Barnes on behalf of the applicants. It's Marcos and Andrea Lopez.
Pardon me one second.
Sure.
I have to stand a little bit. I had back surgery, so I had too much sitting, so I'm standing a little bit, so pardon me.
No worries. It's at 111 South Swarthmore Avenue, Lot 1, Block 41. It's in the R3. It's a 50 by 62.5 for 3,125 square feet beachfront. Currently, there's a three-story residential building there. What the applicant's proposing to do is demolish that, thereafter create a new structure that's 2.5-plus stories along with the pool. We went through the report of your engineer. What we do need to indicate is that the property itself meets your lot area, it meets your lot width, exceeds your lot depth. As far as the front yard setback, 12 feet is actually required. Right now it's 10.3, so it'll comply, so it'll be better from the front yard setback. The side yard setbacks will be compliant, and it's important to note that because this property is at the bulkhead or beachfront, the side yard setbacks change a bit. So on the bulkhead side, it's 12 feet where it normally would be 5, which creates obviously a smaller house and footprint. As far as the rear yard setback is concerned, 10 feet is required. Right now it's 8.9 and it'll be 10 feet. So this building will be more compliant as well. As it relates to the height, right now, 32.5 is what exists. 31 is allowed. The applicant is proposing 33 feet, and we'll explain the rationale as to why. As it relates to stories, currently there's three stories now. 2.5 stories is permitted, but there is some wiggle room, and I believe in your ordinance that allows you to get to 75% of that 2.5, and your engineer can chime in on that. The applicant's below that amount, so we don't believe a variance is actually needed for the number of stories. As it relates to the parking, the the engineers collectively had a conversation, and they can revise the plans in such a fashion that the garage itself, the parking there would be 10 by 20, which is compliant, and then the parking outside of the garage, which is off the street and on the premises, those parking spots will be compliant as it relates to space, meaning they'll be 9 by 18, where the issue lies is the configuration, which is not compliant with your ordinance. As it relates to the third floor deck, I believe that issue has been resolved, and we'll hear Mr. McLeese speak about that, where no variance is going to be required. Having said all that, it's probably appropriate now that we have Mr. McLeese take you through the plans, and we're not going to spend any real time on the inside of the structure because I think it's somewhat irrelevant unless you have specific questions. I think more time is going to be spent on the design and why some things are situated where they are, in particular where the front door might be located and the parking arrangement. Having said that, Bill, knowing that your credentials have been approved, give the board the benefit of your role in this project, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the time. I know it's a late night for all of us, so I'll try to be as expeditious as I can with my time. We're here, as Mr. Barnes pointed out, for 111 South Swarthmore. Mr. Marcos Lopez and Didi Lopez are here with us. It's their intent to tear down the existing house that's there. It's an aged house. It's non-compliant in a number of fashions. What we're looking to do is put back a new house that they can enjoy with their family for generations to come here at the shore at Ventnor, obviously. The property itself, being at the beachfront, as Mr. Barnes has pointed out, requires that we have a 12-foot setback on an otherwise, typical lot in the city of Ventnor. We have dimensions of 62.5 in depth and 50 feet wide in width. But what happens is, with this particular lot, with the 12-foot setback, it's squeezing the property. So the developable width of the property is less as compared to the lot immediately next door, which is also the same size. So just in a nutshell, if I were to develop the property immediately to the west with a 5-foot and a 5-foot setback, we would have a 40-foot width for the house, whereas our property, we only have 33. That became important to us during design. It was very important for Marcos and Didi to have a connection with the landscape, with the outdoors. As we see so often here, as I'm sure you all see throughout the city with applications that come before you, all of us having to collectively deal with the floodplain, everything's getting lifted up. And there's a little bit of a detachment from the ground plane, right? Now there's garage doors all the way across the front of the house and a huge set of stairs, or even worse, no set of stairs. There's just a deck that floats above the garage doors. We didn't want that. We were trying to maintain that connection so you have the connection with the inside and outside for the living space. And that gets really tricky on this particular lot because of the setbacks that we're dealing with. So as a result, what we chose to do was keep the first floor where we could as low as possible, right where it needs to be to comply with the floodplain, but no higher. Of course, we needed to make sure that we have our off-street parking, so what we did there was we created garage space within the building, and then we have two parking spaces in front of the garage. The problem that we're here tonight to talk about is due to the configuration of those spaces and the desire to have an entrance, a front door, which from a design standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, really gives the indicator of home, right? That's what you think of when you're thinking of a home, is where's the front door? How do I enter? What's the procession of space from entry and arrival and process to entering inside? That was really important to try to avoid that kind of disconnected deck floating above the ground plane. So we have a front entrance located right here, and if I can refer to a rendering which was not included in your submission, and I guess we'll label A1, exhibit A1?
A1, sure. Rendering?
Rendering. So you'll see here two parking spaces and a front door. So what we have then is a terraced front yard that's elevated 3 feet here that transitions to the side yard, which is elevated further, and a set of stairs that leads you up there. However, the main entrance to the house is right there. If we refer to the elevations which were submitted with the package, you'll see on the south elevation that front door, right? So we have parking, we have our garage door, there's the entrance. This is my connection to the rest of the world, so to speak. So, sure. So we spoke with Roger. I know there's the concern that we have two spaces that are stacked in front of the garage, right? Meaning that we have to move two cars in order to get the car out of the garage. If those spaces slide over, this door projects out further than that back wall where the garage is. So now that would need to push back, which means we can't really have that door there anymore. Or if we did choose to keep the door there, it's going to be behind cars, which is not exactly any sense of arrival either. So in exchange for that, then we would have to revamp this to put the front door here at the first floor, which may not seem like it's such a big deal. However, when we look at a tight property and we look at the floor plan, you can see the living space that we have is not enormous. We have a small foyer right here where that door enters today. What we're talking about is this would have to move back to allow for that parking to move over, and that door would end up here. So you'd be entering, which would basically be the prime location, right, for the property, to be able to look out that corner and look at the beach, and you would have a front door there. Again, looking at that sense of arrival and that process, right, of arrival at home, walking into the middle of the living room doesn't really give you much of a sense of arrival. That's more like the apartment that I lived in when I first got out of college. I don't think that's something that Marcos and Dina would want. It's certainly not something that I would want if I was buying this property and building it for my family. So that's really the reason that we have the parking arrangement the way we have it. The net effect of that is Marcos and Dina and their family have to do a little bit of jockeying of cars. Having these parking spots here versus 4 feet over, whatever the number ends up being, has no effect on the neighbors. It has no effect on on-street parking, because this entire end of the street, as we all know, is striped out for emergency purposes. So you can't park here anyway. So really, the only people that are inconvenienced by it are sitting right here this evening. So for that reason, we felt this is a better planning alternative. It allows us to have the house terrace down, open up to the ground, and have that entrance on the street level, or two or three steps up from the street level. So you're not disconnected from the ground plane. You don't have that guard tower type feel that you often see at so many properties. With regard to the height, if, again, I refer to the rendering, as we spoke, the existing house is three stories, and if we were to calculate the percentage, which I'll be honest with you, I don't have the existing house plans. We didn't measure it. It's getting knocked down. It'd just be a waste of their money and my time. So if we were to approximate it, I would think the third floor is probably somewhere between 75% to 100% of the floor below. It is three relatively full stories. The footprint, I believe in all directions, exceeds the setbacks save for the side yard to the west. I think that complies. The rear yard is non-compliant slightly. The side yard towards the beach, slightly non-compliant. The front yard, again, slightly non-compliant. And probably a good point to bring up, the parking at the existing house, it's paved all the way across the frontage, so the car's kind of, you know, it's free will, you know, park wherever you want, and so it's not organized. 75% of lot coverage is at right now 100. Right. And that I think was one question as part of the review. We're not looking for any coverage variances here. We're going to comply with the impervious coverage requirements for this for the proposed development. So just to touch back, if we're 12 feet in from the beach and 5 feet in from the other side, we're squeezing. So the third floor ends up being a little bit different in configuration, partly because of the aesthetic that they choose, partly because of the constraints we're wrestling with. And hence, that's the reason we're here to talk about height and talk about roof slope. So if we were to build a 512 pitch roof on this house, number one, it really probably wouldn't match this style, number one. And number two, it would actually be taller than this proposed application because we would go all the way up to the permitted height for a pitched roof, whereas we are proposing something in between the flat height requirement, the flat roof requirement, and the pitch roof requirement. So on balance, I think it's a reasonable application. And again, just to touch on the third floor deck, there is a portion of the lower floor that projects out towards the beach. We're not using that as part of the deck, so that the third floor deck fits within the envelope or the footprint of the building. So that's not a concern. And as Roger touched on and we spoke about this morning, we're modifying the house inside to meet the requirements for the garage space. So we'll have a 10-foot wide garage space. We would love to have two cars deep in the garage, but the combination of the lot depth and the zoning requirements simply you can't physically fit two compliant spaces in 62 and a half feet with the front and rear yard requirements and the parking requirement in front of the garage door. It doesn't fit. We have approximately, I'll say 34 feet inside. So if they have a small car, we can stack in the garage, but we have one compliant parking spot in the garage. I did. The third floor deck is really oriented towards the beach, and again, that's going to be within the footprint of the building. There's no projections, so no need for a variance there. I don't think so, but if there's any questions, I'm happy to entertain them.
Please do.
Bill, just to clarify, the proposed building height is 33? 30 from base flood?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Okay. Because the plan says 30, that's why and that would be compliant, so. 33, okay. And 32 and a half, right, so we're, and a pitched roof, fully pitched roof would be at 35.
Correct.
Okay. Right, I get it.
Right.
We went through that in Stratford.
Yes, we did.
Mr. Barnes, you're going to have to speak closer to the microphone.
There's a handheld one here if you want to do a little song and dance up there.
Just have to press the button.
So again,
hold the button in and it'll turn on.
The existing house, which is still there,
yes,
is 32 and a half feet in height. Correct? In the roof?
The existing house,
yes.
I think we approximated it at that. I would have to check. I don't know if it showed up on the survey or not.
What's the question?
And
the height of the existing house.
We have it at 32 and a half feet.
Right. That's what's on the plan, so.
I kind of think it ended up showing up on the survey.
You're looking to have this house at 33, 6 inches higher.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Thank you.
And again, it's a different starting point, but yes.
True.
Right. So does that mean this will be higher up out of the ground? By how much?
Probably 6 feet.
Okay. But a pitched roof would be 3 feet higher.
Higher.
It would be,
yeah,
9 feet higher. So, all right. Okay. That's all I had, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions of this applicant? Okay, let's move on.
Thank you. Mr. Shulo?
I don't think I have to refer. You know what? Maybe I will. Maybe. No, it doesn't matter. That'll be fine.
Good evening.
Please provide the board with your role in this particular project, please.
I was brought in to provide professional planning testimony and provide the proofs in support of the variance relief requested.
And did you have an opportunity to look at the neighborhood?
I did.
And you're familiar with the plans?
I am.
All right. And as far as the variances that are concerned, I know there's more listed in the engineer's report than actually exist. Is that accurate?
Yeah, there's been some changes since the report was issued.
So why don't we go through the ones that don't exist so we can make
that clear? The ones that have been removed?
Yes.
Well, you do mean the ones we're improving or the ones that he's...
We'll do both.
We'll do both.
So you heard Jeff touch on a little bit that today the building that's on the site is non-conforming relative to front setback and rear setback. And in this condition, along with, I'm sorry, coverage as well, site coverage, in the proposed condition, those will all be improved to be compliant. So we are making improvements. Relative to the relief that was originally identified in the review letter or ambiguous in the way the application was submitted related to 2.5 stories, we are compliant with the 2.5 story requirement. I will provide further testimony to show that we do have 3 parking spaces that I feel are compliant. I'll explain in a minute. The roof deck, again, is within the building envelope. That was a clarification. And the size of the parking space inside the garage, as you heard Bill testify, will be increased to be compliant. So that was originally on the plans as variance relief. It no longer will be.
And the deck? Third floor deck?
Third floor deck, yeah. I mentioned it's within the building envelope.
All right, so I assume one of the biggest questions that a board is going to have when you have a property that's knocked down, a building that's knocked down, and you're going to erect a brand new building, why are you in front of this board? Why aren't you compliant?
So as Bill mentioned, there are better planning alternatives that we found in this application specifically. And to be clear, after going through this, you know, over the last couple of weeks and drilling down to what's actually necessary, I feel there's really only one variance that we're requesting. And I'll explain that. So as you guys had just discussed a little bit too, if this were a pitched roof at 5-on-12, we're allowed to be at 35 feet. But since technically it's less than 5-on-12, as Roger put in the letter, it's treating it as a flat roof, but clearly looking at the plan, it's not flat. It's just not at as steep a pitch as what the ordinance says they want, it has as a required minimum. So at 3-on-12, as shown here, two ways to go about this. If we were, as Bill mentioned, to be at 5-on-12, we'd be compliant with the allowable height at 5-on-12. If we were to go with an actual flat roof, we'd also be compliant, and it would just be a flat roof. It wouldn't look as good in, you know, the architect's opinion and everyone else, I guess, on the team. So we generally hit the middle. What we propose here is the exact same structure, same building mass, same volume, same intensity, same yield, just with a roof that's a little bit flatter. And to be clear, it's not flatter than what is permitted in the ordinance overall. Dormers can be at this slope. It's just this overall roof, the entire roof, is at the flatter slope. So we're requesting that relief respectfully to be able to provide this architecturally, its architectural approach rather than the steeper roof, because as Bill mentioned, it's what fits into this design.
So you just said a lot. You use 5-12, 3-12 mass. What does it mean to the... What does it mean to the public?
So
what does it mean to the people in the neighborhood?
When you're standing on the street, unless you're a builder, you really don't know the difference all that much. It's generally about twice as steep, a little bit less than that, but it's generally the pitch of this roof would just be a little higher, be a little steeper. So we're asking for it to be just a little bit flatter so that it looks this way rather than steeper roof.
Is this going to have any detrimental impact on the neighborhood?
Absolutely not. No, same building, just different roof.
So you thought we only need one variance. Anything else?
Yeah, so I'll explain the reason I don't feel another one is necessary. So the other one that was still left was related to, the parking spaces and the number of parking spaces and the size of the parking spaces. So the issue with this generally is the city ordinance requires, as Roger mentioned in his letter, pursuant to section 102.118.6, 3 parking spaces are required. And that's also in New Jersey Residential Site Improvement Standards, same amount. And then also in the ordinance, 102.118.6A5 says a one-car driveway or garage and driveway combination is 1.75 spaces. RSIS, under section 4.14D2 of that, states one-car garage and driveway combination is 2 parking spaces. It also goes on to say that it will be that so long as the driveway is 18 feet in depth from the right-of-way line to the face of the garage door, which is what we propose and have here. The city ordinance requires a little bit more than that to be compliant. So generally there's conflict between city ordinance and RSIS. And the RSIS was adopted in 1997 statewide to generally set standards for all residential development all over the state to keep from being, I guess, generally overreaching home rule. Not that this is, I'm not saying that, but just to be clear, what we propose is compliant with the state standard, and that happens to need relief from the local ordinance. So we do need a variance, but I feel it's justified because we meet the state standards.
Right. Let me just jump in here real quick. I actually contacted RSIS, and they said they left it up to us to interpret that.
They said that they left it up to you to change their standard?
The interpretation had to do that, yes. Have any stack in front? Because I had the same question before on another case.
Well, the reality of it is, however the standard is applied, we're asking for the relief respectfully because we feel that 18 feet is enough for it to be a compliant parking space. That's what you see everywhere. And the width is sufficient. And as Bill mentioned, as far as the arrangement goes, I don't know that there's a standard new ordinance that says that stacked parking has to be stacked where one car is the only one that would move to let a vehicle out of the garage. As Bill mentioned, the way that this is arranged, the two cars generally sit so that the garage door is more or less between them, not exactly in the middle, but both cars would have to move for the car in the garage to come out. But as Bill mentioned, that would just inconvenience the owners. I also want to point out, too, with the existing parking, just so the board's aware, we don't have the existing plan here, but the existing parking that's on site, there's two spaces, but the way it's arranged with the existing building, there's one space on the north or west side of the site, and another one that's against the bulkhead, and there's two curb depressions, and then a flat spot in the middle. The area between the two parking spaces isn't deep enough to fit any cars, but the cars can park on each side of that. The one against the bulkhead, when you back out of that space, it conflicts with the beach access, the pedestrian access, and there's really nowhere for the car to actually start maneuvering on an angle against the bulkhead because it's directly against it, so it has to back all the way across the street to get out. In this proposed arrangement, that's eliminated, so now both cars are on the west side or the north side so that they don't have conflict with pedestrians. I feel that that's an improvement. It's subtle, but it's important.
As far as the functionality is concerned, having a parking spot that's 9 by 18 the way you have it situated on the plan, can it work? Is it practical?
That's almost every parking space you see everywhere is 9 by 18. Yep.
If this was a condominium, your opinion may be a little bit different that someone would actually have to move both cars, but considering it's a single family home.
If it's all the same ownership, it's coordination. And it's not unlike a lot of other parking arrangements, offshore, onshore, everywhere. It happens quite frequently.
In offshore communities, the idea is to get as many cars off the street as possible, correct?
Oh, here on the beach, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, provided that you're incorrect and that a variance is needed, let's talk about the proofs associated with not only the height, but as it relates to the parking spots themselves.
Sure. So, this relief, I feel, can be granted under the flexible C criteria, which is under 70C2 in the municipal land use law. And this relief generally requires that at least one purpose of zoning is enumerated in the municipal land use law is advanced, and that the benefits of the relief, if the grant were, or the board were to grant it, would outweigh any potential detriment, which is generally known as the positive criteria. And then the negative criteria, two prongs to that would be that there's no substantial detriment to the public good, and that granting of the relief will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zoning ordinance or the master plan. So I want to make sure it's clear, too, that this board has heard in previous applications height variances. There's two different types. This is not a D variance for height, where it exceeds the minimum or the maximum permitted by 10% or 10 feet. This stays within the bulk variance criteria because it's only 2 feet. So going through the actual purposes of zoning, I feel are advanced. I feel that purpose A, to promote the general welfare, is advanced because the applicant is proposing an upgraded single-family home with additional parking, additional landscape area, moving the driveway, as I mentioned, to remove potential conflict with pedestrians, is an aesthetic upgrade, and in the overall, on balance, this provides a public benefit for having this redevelopment. Also, purpose C, to provide adequate light, air, and open space, since we're increasing the pervious or open space on the lot. Reducing coverage, I feel it meets that purpose. Purpose I, to promote a desirable visual environment. As Bill went through his testimony, the aesthetic upgrades are substantial, and we feel that that benefits the neighborhood and the city as a whole. And also purpose M, to encourage the efficient use of land, since this is redevelopment of an existing developed lot and bringing the lot into compliance on a couple items that are currently non-compliant, I feel it meets that purpose. And is obviously an efficient use of land. As you heard Bill mention, if this were the lot next door, there'd be more or less 7 feet more of building envelope, and it could result in a larger home. And then when these proposed improvements are viewed on the whole, they also contribute to the preservation of the neighborhood character and aesthetics. And these two additional purposes of zoning have been held by the courts to be appropriate in consideration of variance relief by the board. And for the negative criteria, I mentioned the two prongs. The first one being the potential impact of the public good. The courts have found that that's generally impact of the immediately surrounding neighborhood. So to be clear, the general public also, but also the surrounding area, will not be negatively impacted by the relief requested for the building height. As I mentioned, it's the same building, just with a slightly flatter roof. Or for the parking arrangement to be compliant with RSIS, the request of relief will not result in an arrangement that's out of character with the neighborhood or that creates any burden on the neighborhood. It's positive impact in my view. And then I feel that the master plan and zoning ordinance, the spirit, purpose, and intent will not be negatively impacted or impaired by this relief, since what's requested isn't a larger building in reality. It's just a slightly flatter roof, as I mentioned, and again, for the parking to be compliant with the state standard. So I feel that since the relief requested related to the height specifically is for aesthetic value and not to gain more building space, I feel it meets the spirit, purpose, and intent in the ordinance. So for those reasons, I feel that the board has jurisdiction to approve these variances as requested, and that the project and the specific conditions of this application warrant consideration for the relief.
And when you're doing your overall analysis too, do you go and look at a comparison of what's being proposed versus what's there and how you're making the site better?
Yeah, and almost every time we, and I mean, no offense when I say this, as you mentioned in the beginning, we'd rather not come to the board. Obviously, if we find that we can be compliant with the zoning standards, we submit for a zoning permit and building permit. But we found and felt, based on Bill's design and the applicant's desire to have this specific aesthetic arrangement, that it was a better planning alternative. And for that reason, we wanted to come and ask for this relief.
And when you have to move the building in 12 feet versus 5, if it wasn't on a bulkhead, does that change your opinion at all when you're doing your analysis?
I'm confused by your question. So this is harder to deal with than
precisely
a conforming lot. Yes.
And then when you do that, do you then go look at lot coverage and building coverage to make sure that you're not maxing out?
All right, absolutely. Yeah. This, as we say, when we engineer it, we, of course, push it to the edge. That's what we're supposed to do. This is a really good balance overall, and it brings into conformance stuff that today is not compliant. So, yeah, I feel that this was done really well.
And when you look at the parking arrangement that existed versus the one that's being proposed in conjunction with the fact that there's a no parking zone, does that change your analysis at all?
No, this is an improvement either way.
So anything else you'd like to add to your testimony?
No, I'm happy to answer questions if there are any.
I'm going to ask Roger.
Okay.
Okay.
You can answer.
I understand there's two different standards that you're talking about, and we usually use the 20-foot standard. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So are you saying tonight that we should be looking at the 18, or we can if we want to, but it's still a variance?
It's still a variance, but their testimony, and I agree with the testimony, is they're impacting nobody. That 18-foot is meant to protect the properties up and down the way so cars don't stick out. That's not going to stick out here. I do have some recommendations in my report to have an ADA ramp. I think you'll agree to that.
Have an ADA ramp?
Just like a curb ramp. Curb
cut. There's one on the plan here. I don't know if this is a newer version, Bill. What is that? The accessible ramp?
Yes. Yeah, so the governor's strip and the accessible ramp.
Perfect.
And then the other thing is there's two driveways there that now exist, right?
Yeah.
So will you be getting rid of one of the driveways?
Yes, the one closer to the bulkhead will come.
Okay.
Yeah, they've backed into our railing. Previous owner.
See,
not you guys, whoever owned it before you.
Yeah. The ordinance says that in non-garage parking space is 8 by 18, but it also says the setback has to be 20 feet, so there's a conflict there.
Right.
I'd say as long as they're not breaking both of those, it's fair to say that variance could be granted. It is a variance, but it's like half a variance, you know what I mean?
Will the cars hang in the public right away?
No, and that was another question too. So and I'm sorry, coming back to you. The ordinance standard doesn't say 20 feet from the garage door to the right-of-way. It says to the back of sidewalk, right?
Correct.
We have over 20 feet in this arrangement. It's 20 and a half. I think it might be over 20 feet that the ordinance says. I can't remember the standard. It might be in your letter, but in either case, we're not going to be hanging over the sidewalk, and we're compliant with RSIS. We feel that there is no potential issue with this relief as requested.
Can we clean up that ordinance? It sounds confusing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Put it on the list, right?
I'm going to look for it. I think it might be in here.
On the 2023
list.
Goals.
Yeah, on the list.
It says, it's saying that the driveway measures a minimum of 25 feet in length between the face of the garage door and the sidewalk, or 30 feet to the curb line. That's what the ordinance standard is. 25 feet is excessive. That's a big vehicle.
Okay. That's in that section 118.
Are you complete?
We are.
Yes. You have anything further to add, Mr. Barnes?
I do not, unless there's something that I need to address from the public.
I'd like to open up the public if I can. At this time, is there anyone in the public wishes to make comment on this application? Not a big rush here. Again, is anyone wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing no request, seeing no request, the public portion of this application is now closed. Mr. Barnes, do you have anything further you wish to add?
No, I think we brought home the point. You're going to have a new building. You're going to take away quite a few non-conformities and make them conforming as it relates to what's being sought by way of variance. The board recognizes that a variance is needed for the parking. I think the intent and spirit of the ordinance is so that you get cars off of the road. That's exactly what we're doing here. It's a much better parking arrangement than what currently exists. You're going to have a car in the garage. You're going to have two behind. Is it an inconvenience? Yes, but not to the public, but to the people that live there. As it pertains to the height, interesting because they've picked a hybrid of a flat roof versus a pitch roof, and they're kind of in between. The reality is that they could have a higher roof. Based upon where they're located in the neighborhood, it's not going to have any detrimental impact on the people that are there. I think if it did, they would be here, and they're not. So considering all the proofs that have been presented, we respectfully ask that the variances requested be granted.
Okay. Do you accept Mr. McClendon's report?
We do.
Okay, and are you complete?
Excuse me?
Are you complete now?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to bring this to a vote. Board members, do you have anything questions of our applicant or our professionals?
Waiver of a formal landscaping plan to provide something?
Yeah, if they provide the landscaping on the approved plan, yes.
Okay.
Shouldn't be a separate plan. That'll be incorporated. Bill, are you all right with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And then the governor strip and the accessible...
Yes,
so
they can get anyone who uses the sidewalk and get to the public ramp.
All right, so it's a C variance application. It's two variances. We'll call it two variances. There's the building height, given the roof pitch. 31 feet's permitted, 33 feet. And then the parking, the garage parking combination that was discussed. Arguably one space, one legitimate space short, and then the space inside the garage is going to become compliant. Their third floor deck's compliant, and we'll just note the waiver of the formal submission of the landscaping requirements, but they'll submit a plan to be approved in Roger's discretion, and the conditions I just noted that to the extent not shown on the plan, it looks like it's already there, the governor strip and the accessible ramp. The applicant will submit revised plans, the appropriate number of revised plans consistent with the approval granted, any other outside approvals that may be necessary, and the applicant will comply with any other conditions it may during the course of the hearing.
Agreed.
So we need a motion, a second, and a
motion,
rule.
Please. Bobby, we already did.
Yeah,
that.
Nobody.
We did that.
Nobody spoke.
May I have a motion and a second, please?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
We'll have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Landgraf?
I vote in favor of the application. I think beachfront is difficult to deal with here. The boardwalk's not right there, so we don't really have an issue with the boardwalk that we a lot of times deal with. We've got that back beach there. The parking, I think, to me, I do want to look at that section of the ordinance, because that seems onerous, 25 feet to the sidewalk.
I think when that ordinance was set up, it was before houses were higher.
Gotcha. The height, to me, is not a huge issue. We did elevate it a few years back to 31 feet for flat roofs. This isn't quite a flat roof. It's not quite a pitched roof. It's kind of a blend.
Right.
So I think this is a better planning alternative. It does give the building some architectural feature that I do like. I really like the openness of it. I mean, the facade on the beach is just, Bill, fantastic. I mean, it's really going to open that up. Hope you have some curtains or something, because it's a lot of glass, but looks good. I vote yes.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes, because, first of all, our ordinances basically encourage great architectural design and variations of design within the community. I think that this is the few things that they're asking for are de minimis at best, and they go to giving us a great structure that's of a resort nature that enhances the community itself, the visual effect of it. We are a resort community. We have to market ourselves. We have to show well. So this does that. And it goes into our master plan and also our economic plan as well. The additional thing is that the roof, when you're dealing with it, is the existing house is only 6 inches below that it exists there right now, below the height of the roof, which they want to do. Again, de minimis. And if you look down the street three blocks, there's a roof that's 7 feet higher than this three blocks away in an A form that with the third floor deck that sticks out, which we approved. In comparison, this is much better. And finally, in the getting into the parking places, well, I can't even one other thing. Our ordinance, basically, the way it's written, because of the bulkhead and the seawall, more or less punishes the individual, not punishes, but makes more demands on the individual. And by the nature of our ordinance, the house got narrower. And by narrowing the house, it put certain constraints on the design and induced some of these variances, particularly in the parking side, that we're seeing. So with that, I find no problem at all in granting the parking variances, because they're in the spirit of what the whole plan is, and they work. And there's the state love statutes and our statutes, they go back and forth, but we're right in the money. And no other neighbor is affected by it. It's just stands alone and there. The nature of all these variances don't affect any other neighbors and blend in with the streetscape and the basic uniform developmental pattern of the street. So from a planning standpoint, it accomplishes all our goals. The final thing is, we're taking a property, not quite obsolescence, but we're bringing it, we're updating, we're putting a new property in its place, which meets another goal of our master plan. So with that, it's a home run. So Mr. Lopez, you got a winner.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
I also vote yes. To me, the designs dictate the requirement of having these variances. But the design is great. It's going to be a great addition to the boardwalk. I think that, as stated, that requirement with the bulkhead really made designing this site difficult, but it's been accomplished. So I think that welcome you to the table.
Lorraine Salata.
I'm going to vote in favor of it. I think it's a beautiful design. And from the beginning, my only real concern was the parking. You know, we don't like to give out relief on parking generally, because every street is a nightmare in the summer. But understanding how it's functioning, I don't think it will negatively impact anybody or the neighborhood. So with that, I do support the application.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. There's a lot of challenges here, which from a layman's side, you don't really realize the challenges that are there. And I think that we're only asking for two variances in this situation is commendable. And I think that you
Mike Wiesen.
I think with the explanation from the two professionals cleared up, and you know, just give us that anybody might have to work. The design of the house is just awesome. I love the roof and the openness of how much the house is going to show in the world. I'm going to take it one step further than Jay. I'm going to call that a grand slam.
Peter Taco.
I'm also going to vote in favor for all the reasons stated. The aesthetic of the roof far outweighs the detriment to any neighbor. And the parking certainly is, it's always an issue. We know that 25 feet is really big space for the
we're complete.
We're complete.
Good luck.
Mr. Barnes?
Thank you.
You have won.
Thanks.
Mr. Lopez, Mrs. Lopez, congratulations. And, well, I can't say welcome to the city, but welcome back again. And in a new suit, shall we say?
Thank you. Thanks for staying up.
Stop by and say hello next time.
I will all be able.
All right.
Thank you.
The next application we have this evening is 139 North Newport Avenue.
Chairman, this is a D1 variance. I'm going to recuse myself and leave for the evening.
Please.
I do want to say one thing, though, and I appreciate everybody sitting through that 2.5 hours of the residents. I felt it was necessary for them to be able to come here and talk to us. I feel bad that they did not get the notice. But Mr. Greco had rights. He was allowed to rely on that.
Yeah.
But I wanted them to have that ability to come and talk to us. It did get a little contentious there with them wanting some other things, but we're going to meet with them. Roger, Ed, and I are going to meet hopefully Friday morning with Mr. Greco and try and work out some additional things that we can, that we have some ideas already that we can help that site. We want it to be a good project, which I think it's already started to be, but we also want to see what we can do to help some of those neighbors on that street.
I think it was important for them to understand that we did things as they should be done by the book, and there was a glitch and there was nothing nefarious.
Right,
about.
And it was not, no way in at all Carmella's.
Right. Suggested without there, which was really.
Yeah, that was inappropriate for that woman to say that. And Leo corrected her. This was a glitch in the computer system. It happens. I've had it happen on applications.
For that to happen twice on the same app, you know, it's.
Yeah, I'm going to sit down with Bill and I don't need to go through this now, but I'm going to sit down with Bill and see if we can come up with a little better, a little different way to get it done.
Most definitely.
I hope so.
Will there be any looking, I mean, at the computer system? I mean, there
that's
was a programming issue. We don't want this to
happen. Well, they're already looking at it.
What I'm going to ask them to do is go back to the old school way of doing it.
Right.
As a double check.
Right. Okay.
Draw the radius.
Right.
That's how we
moving right along?
Yes. Let the record reflect that Commissioner Landgraf has accused himself on the this application coming up, and he has left the presence of the board, physically. Okay. Let's see. What have you, Mr. Is it Scipione?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Scipione, you're going to have to be sworn. Do you have any other, anybody that's testifying with you? He's going to have to be sworn as well.
Okay. Let's, Mr. Scipione, why don't you just state your name and address for the record?
Giovanni Scipione, 112 South Weymouth.
And Mr. Shulo, just since it's a new application.
Jason Shulo, Shulo Engineering.
If you can each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give tonight will be the truth?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Let the record reflect that Mr. Shulo's credentials as an engineer and planner are acceptable to the board. Now, what we're going to do this evening is, as we did before, is Mr. McLaren will read his report into the record, do a preamble, and then you will continue with your presentation. Mr. McLaren, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. My report is based on the application of Giovanni Tripione, 139 North Newport Avenue, Block 169, Lots 31 and 41, seeking C variances and D variances. Located in the R7 Single Family Zoning District, it's deemed complete, and this is a whole slew of different variance types. There's a hardship variance, there's a substantial benefit variance, a D3, which is a deviation from a standard for a conditional use, and a height variance. Materials reviewed on the bottom of page 1, continued on page 2, and the project description is as follows. The proposal was to construct a new home on an undersized lot that has previously been developed with a similar size area-wise single-family dwelling that was attached to the adjacent property dwelling and in a fee-simple ownership. Due to the undersized nature of the property, it is inherent that both requirements cannot be met, along with several building-related variances created. A use variance is necessary due to the attached status of the dwelling and not meeting all of the conditions. In the R7 zone, single-family detached dwellings are a permitted use. A conditional use, which applies to this one, is a attached single-family dwelling. The two homes that were there now were attached with a zero-foot setback line. One way to look at this property is, well, it's a permitted use with a zero-foot setback line, but it's not that case, because what's going to happen in the future when a house next door gets developed, if you grant the use variance, which I feel should be granted, it helps the neighboring property be redeveloped too, because it's a zero-foot setback that they share. So the zoning chart is on page 2, continuing on page 3, and there's a lot of highlighted areas, but again, this is due to the fact that the lot is so small, it's already developed, and this is making a new flood-compliant home, so there is a benefit to permitting this house. So I'll identify the variances as follows. Use variance, which is a D, whereas the zoning in this area is for single-family dwellings and single-family attached units with all conditions not being met, therefore they do not meet the conditions, and the variance is required. Now, I'm not sure of the use proposed for that vacant lot, but if it's going to remain vacant, that use variance doesn't apply. But if that use variance is going to be used as a parking space, there's a satellite lot that's a very small, undersized lot, whereas the zoning in this area is for single-family dwellings and single-family attached units, and an accessory use is proposed without a principal structure. Again, having that parking lot or that individual lot available for an overflow parking space is a benefit that far exceeds any detriment in that area, in my opinion. I'm not going to provide the testimony for Jay, but that's quite evident. All the front yard setbacks for the decks, and there's two front yards, none of the front yard setbacks can be met and should not be expected to be met for all the decks, floors, third floor deck. Continued on the next page, page 5. Yeah. A rear yard setback, again, it's a 12 feet required, 0 feet exists and 0 feet is proposed. Building coverage, whereas 60% is a maximum allowed for attached single family structures, 100% is proposed. That was what was there before. That's what exists to the attached house next door. Lot coverage, whereas 75% is a maximum allowed and 100% is proposed for the attached single family use. Again, the attached house next door is in the same situation where it's 100%. Principal building height, D, whereas 31 feet above first floor is allowed to be 9 feet above top of curb, is a permitted maximum for flat roofs, and 38.5 feet is proposed, and that's measured to from the first floor to the peak of the large roof structure attached to the rooftop deck. Stories, whereas the permitted number of stories is 2.5 and 3 stories is proposed. Again, if you shrunk down that half story or third floor, there wouldn't be much left. Location of the third floor or the flat roof, whereas the required step in or setback from the wall below for the third floor is 5 feet, other than the approved exceptions, such as stairwells and elevator shafts, and 0 feet is proposed. Again, if you put 5 feet in there, the third floor would be 5 feet wide. Off-street parking, whereas 2 off-street parking spaces are required and 2 non-functioning spaces are proposed. I applaud the architect, Harry Harper, for trying to make that a usable garage, but I think there's other ways that could be at least one parking space that would be functional. It's difficult because there's another hardship that's no fault of their own, caused by the one-way traffic requirement of Monmouth Avenue, where you have to actually back into the property. Waivers, a landscape plan, again, you can grant that waiver without any detriment. There is no room for a landscape. You can't even put a leaf on the property. However, I do believe that a couple street trees, maybe two on a long side, one on a short side, could be met in a tree pit, not a grass governor strip, just because there's not enough area, and that is a low area. So I provide some definitions for the board's benefit and the applicant's benefit. And again, if you look at the size and shape of this lot, and it is a buildable lot because something exists there now, that the testimony that you'll be heard will provide the required testimony and proofs. I do question the rooftop deck. A suggestion from a board member before was to perhaps push it in a little bit, so maybe if you're standing on the sidewalk, you're not looking at a railing. If you push it in, that's up to the applicant to provide testimony. And I give the recommendations, I give some guidance on how you should look at a D variance, and the testimony provided by Mr. Shula will explain the same situation. Then alongside the hardship versus the benefit, substantial benefit variances for proofs. And again, that is all I have at this time. Mr. Shula.
Okay, you're up. Please continue.
As I said earlier, my name is Giovanni Scipione. I go by John, so just to keep it easy, simple. We purchased this property, my wife and I, to put a single family home on it for ourselves. And when we tried to put the garage under the front coming in from Newport Avenue, there's a brand new fire hydrant that just was put in and handicap ramp. So that's what changed the whole design to try to get a garage in on the side. I have a Mini Cooper, which I can make that maneuver, and my second vehicle is going to be an electric EV, low-speed vehicle. So I shouldn't have a problem getting the two cars that I use in that space.
But the issue is when you go to sell that property,
I understand.
Has an Escalade.
I understand.
That's going to be a problem.
In the back of the property, there is a 24-by-18 garage currently with a garage door facing into the alley as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if it would be allowed, we could use that for parking. Currently, prior to this, we had no parking.
Right.
And living at 112 South Weymouth now, I have no parking. So my mom's handicapped, my mother-in-law's handicapped. When they come over, I park my cars now on Newport in front of my property. And there's always plenty of parking there. Even in the summer, I have a boat at the Newport yard, and I always park there. So it just is more conducive to our lifestyle to move from, we just moved to 112 Weymouth a year ago, and it's impossible for us to live there. My wife has lupus, and she can't really be in the sun. So we purchased this property to develop it to have some place to go. And, as far as the building itself shows four bedrooms. But in reality, we have 2.5 baths, and there's only 3 bedrooms, and one is an office for myself. I think that would show with only 2.5 bathrooms that we're really not putting, the bedrooms in there. Rarely do we have a lot of company. It's just, like I said, our parents or my brother. As far as the rooftop deck, I would, the architect had put that he just went across the whole roof. I said, I just want something where the elevator comes up, just a little covered area for my wife and I to go. We put the spiral staircase there to add some kind of, it's so narrow, and just to try to break it up and make it look as nice as we could. That's why that was added in. But I would have no trouble to take that out and just make a small area if we could just have a little area at the top for recreation, because there's no yard anywhere on the property. And I don't know if you have any other questions. I tried to make it as aesthetically pleasing as I could. The property that was there before was in disrepair and was damaged during Sandy. The blocks just was unusable. It was mold all the way through it, so we had to tear it down.
So another requirement for flat roofs is no mechanical equipment can be put on top, and there's mechanical equipment being shown on the top.
Which is, oh, the...
air conditioning units.
We could move the, I would move the HVAC. That was, again...
Well, I'd say in this instance, you really don't have any room.
Right.
So...
That's why you put it there.
Right. Understood. So that would be an additional variance.
I know it's putting a lot of stuff in a small lot, but it's all we had to work with. You know, we didn't have any other anything else to work with.
Do you own the other side of the building as well? The other half?
No, Roseanne lives on the other side.
Okay.
This is Roseanne's my neighbor.
Okay, so you only own half of the building.
Yes.
Okay.
When was the building torn down?
When was it torn down? Mm-hmm. Last year.
Last year?
Yeah. I have pictures of it if you'd like to see the original building. I have it here.
Well, while John's passing that out, Jay Shulo again, wanted to just tell a little more of the story about the design approach and how we feel that some of this relief is justifiable. So, this is interesting. This is challenging, this site, as you saw in the plans, I'm sure, being 15 feet wide and 50 feet deep for a total of 750 square feet. It doesn't leave a lot of room to do anything. The former house, as you see in some of the pictures, was two-story. It was right on the ground, so it had no parking. There's no street access from the front. Probably had no air conditioning because there's no HVAC units anywhere that we could see. It looked, oh, it did have one on the roof? Okay, there was one on the roof, I apologize. The parking looked to be supported by the street, but separate from that, as John mentioned, there's a garage in the back, and I'll refer to this exhibit, which is a colored version, or slightly more colored version of the site plan that we submitted with the application. So you'll see on this plan, up in the upper right corner, there's a lot that John owns that's about 28 feet by 18 feet, and there's a garage building on it now with a door that faces the alley, and the alley is an odd shape. It's like a P, and there's a 12-foot-ish, or maybe even less, 10-foot wide. No, it's not even that. I think it's like 9-foot wide section. That's the actual throw of the alley to come in, and then it turns into like an open yard area that really nobody uses, but that does have access for parking. So again, with no parking in the existing condition, even though, or if the opinion of the board and Roger is that the parking we propose in the garage floor may not be ideal, but can be usable, if not for John or someone else in the future with smaller vehicles, the reality of it is it's better than having no parking as we had previously. There's right now one space between that alley opening and the street here. Monmouth is one lane heading to the west, and the driveway opening we propose would generally be an extension of the alley opening, so the apron to get into the garage would be sufficient. And earlier today when John and I were talking about it, because Mr. McLaren had mentioned to me that he thought it would be too tight, John dropped cones on the ground in the shape and size of that garage opening and put an F-150 in it in that front space without hitting the cones. The issue is really the second space, because when you get a car all the way in, that's not a problem, but the car behind it has to park on an angle, so it's not going to be a full space. So at the very minimum, it's at least one parking space that's viable. And the second space would be for a smaller vehicle. He mentioned Mini Cooper. His wife drives a small SUV. He might get a golf cart. It will work for that type of use, and to try to limit the use of it, because we need that opening no matter what to get to the space that can be accessed, we feel it's the right way to approach it with the constraints provided. As John mentioned, the driveway opening idea, putting it on Newport, aside from it being right on top of the intersection, which I personally don't think is a great idea. He mentioned utility poles out there as a fire hydrant, overhead wiring around this whole corner, which is probably why there's no street trees. And I'm not sure, Roger, if that changes your opinion on putting them in, but there's overhead all up and down both sides of the street. But in the end, taking this, I mean, severely constrained lot, super small, and this interesting, it's really only these houses here that are this size on this block, just around this alley. The ones across the street, the ones going up the block on the other side, they're all larger. So this condition is really unique to this corner. And this specific lot being on the corner with two fronts doesn't exist anywhere else. So it's, you know, severely constrained for that reason. The overall approach trying to find the right way to develop this to have it not only usable to the owner but also not impact the public. You heard him mention his wife has health issues, that he wanted to create the rooftop deck for the purpose of creating private recreation space on the lot that you can't get on the ground because it's too small. And as he mentioned, the architect might have been a little overzealous with the size of the deck, and he'll pull that back. So instead of seeing, pull up, this is the elevation submitted with the application, or the floor plans and elevation. Use the elevation first. Excuse me. So you'll see the front elevation, which will be on Newport, and this side elevation would be on Monmouth. You can see that the railing is shown right on the edge of it, all the way up to the side of the building. As mentioned, we'll be able to pull that back, and this section of spiral staircase from the second to the or the third, the second deck up to the roof, if that's a problem, we can remove that. But generally, the railing, that especially the portion that fronts on Newport, we'd pull back, and then the rear as well, pull it back in so that it wouldn't be visible from the street. Because the intent of the rooftop deck is not for it to be a place for people to hang out and party and create a nuisance. It's for him and his wife private. And we understand, Roger mentioned what happens if it gets sold. And we're very clear on we're building things now for people that don't live yet. I mean, we know that. The idea, though, that in this particular location, the potential for rooftop decks to be problematic. And our understanding from talking to Mr. Landgraf and Mr. McLaren and everybody else involved in the planning side of things here is that the prohibition was really for the purpose of protecting neighbors from people being able to see off the roof decks into their yards, creating noise and nuisance from that roof deck that would impact their quiet enjoyment of their yard. In this case, as shown on the rendering exhibit that I provided, I mentioned around the corner, so every direction you look, it's the front of another home. This one has a yard here, but it's the front yard isn't, generally the recreation space. So the neighbors here, the neighbors behind us, they don't have any yards for this rooftop deck to potentially look into. And similarly, they can't see up to the rooftop deck from their space. So I feel personally that this is probably one of the only places that a rooftop deck really won't have much impact, if any, because there's really no one to be able to see it or hear it or be bothered by it. So the height relief that's requested, the reality of it is, if we took the structure, I'll go back to the elevation, I'm sorry. If we go back to the elevation, not my night, it's been too long. Getting tired. Everybody getting hangry? I'm sorry, I'll try to be brief, I promise. Or more brief. So, if we were to take the flat section of the roof, removing that covered porch that's up there, the covered, generally a pergola, we would be compliant with the height. It would be within the permissible height. Putting that structure on top is what drives us into the height variance request. And the only reason for that structure, as I mentioned, is to provide a little bit of shade for his wife, who has a health condition, and also for private recreation space. So there's for sure the ability to be compliant, and we don't feel that, I feel anyway, that what we're asking for isn't unreasonable given this specific situation in the corner and location that it exists. So we're respectfully requesting that relief. To permit that additional height.
Shiloh, can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
This is basically a step backwards for the city, the way it's going. First of all, you're creating parking by raising the height of the building, raising it up to the height. But my knowledge is that with FEMA and everything else in the state, to create the parking and elevate the building, that's not within the guidelines of that itself. So we're missing some of that point. But this is a 15-foot wide building. That's one, two, three, four, basically almost four stories high. So the scale on this thing is like